I dreamt I was in this huge hotel and I forgot my room number. And I was just going from person to person saying, have y'all seen Gloria? Have y'all seen Gloria? That was the worst dream. That was. Welcome to my world. You think I would have a good dream? No, that was terrible. Okay. Anointed to reign. We're going to see where the Lord's taking us, but one of the things that's very important to understand is that you are going to be changed. You're not just going to go into something new. You're going to be something new. And maybe that is the change. That's a big part of the change. I want to go to this scripture that it's always been a blessing to me, and I've always loved reading it and preaching from it, 1 Peter 2 and 9. And Peter says this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, or in the King James, a peculiar people, that you may proclaim the praises of him. Purpose, that word, T-H-A-T, purpose, that you may proclaim the praises. God made you who you are, that you might praise him, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Marvelous light. Praise God. So, we are chosen to be priests of God. In the Old Testament, you had to be from a certain tribe, right? You had to be from Levi. Didn't matter what your skills or abilities were, you had to be from Levi. If you were in Levi, you could be a priest. But now, we can all be priests. What does a priest do? A priest is the go-between between God and other people. The priest, brings God to the people and introduces them. You have a special role as a priest, but not just a priest. You are a royal priesthood. That makes you a king. The only thing I want to do today is let you know how special you are. Can I preach like that? Is that all right? Because we put ourselves down. We listen to the wrong stories. Listen, we're living in a world that doesn't want you to prosper, really. They want to control you. That we learned that really from COVID, and we learned that there really is the higher-ups. They really think they know better than the masses. And they want to control you. They want to be in charge. And the best way to do it, one of their things on their agenda is to shut the church down. If they can shut the church down or keep you from church, there you go. Because then they can control you. You're being attacked on every level. If you're a man, they're trying to make you more effeminate. If you're a woman, they're trying to make you more masculine. Confusing roles and marriage. Marriage is a thing of the past. They say we're entering a crisis right now because people are not only not getting married, but they're not having children. And there's a narrative out there now that says, don't bring children into this terrible world. Well, they made it terrible. You know, Muslims don't think like that. They're still having 8, 9, 10 kids. And they say they've done population studies in Europe where they've I'm not trying to be ugly toward Muslims. I know a lot of them are well-meaning, good people. But listen, the ultimate agenda from the beginning of this is to take over nations. It really is. And they're doing it, and they're trying to do it here. Mosques are being raised up all over the place. Just in one city in Texas, 12 mosques, 12, grew up overnight. Why do they need 12 mosques in one little town? There really is a movement here. And throughout the ages, where have been a lot of our wars? Christians against Muslims. I better not spend any more time there. But there's this movement to curtail our freedom. Come on. Listen, they're after your kids. Schools so much. Not everywhere, but in a lot of places. It's not about education. It's about indoctrination. Trying to indoctrinate children. Trying to get them to think a certain way. They're pushing the gay agenda on 4- and 5-year-olds. This is doing nothing but confuse people. And number two, it's making it to where it is a cool thing to do. And you're cool if you're gay. And it's confusing people. And the suicide rate is going through the roof. The internet, please, if you're a parent, please listen to me. Don't let your kids get on the internet and social media till late teens. Please listen to me. Don't give in to this. You know, there are entire websites, many of them, that are specifically dedicated to teaching teens how to kill themselves. Oh, yeah. And social media. These kids are mean to each other. Come on. And they get their hurt feelings, and they feel rejected and isolated. And, you know, it seems like the internet was supposed to connect us, but it's really isolating us. Because people don't mind saying things that they would never say to your face online. And they're hurting children, and children are committing suicide, and they're feeling isolated and lonely and afraid and depressed. The leading cause of death is suicide among children. Keep them off that thing. Well, my kids need a phone. You can have a phone without the internet. I know they look stupid with a flip phone, but do it anyway. Hey, man. I'm talking 16, 17, 18. They're letting kids have phones at 9, 10 years, and they're on the internet. And I know it's difficult because they let them do it at school. And they have access to sexually explicit long before they're old enough to understand it or prioritize it or figure it all out. They're seeing things. My God. Way before our generation did. Come on. Come on. I can get into some things, but I don't want to embarrass myself. All right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We are under attack. Do not misunderstand that. And we need to go to 1 Peter 2:9 and realize who we are. We are anointed to reign as kings and priests to this world. Give him a praise. And once you realize who you really are, then you can really be effective when you understand your God-given skills and abilities and your anointing to do the things God has called you to be and to do it. Praise the Lord. Genesis 14, verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God, Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God, Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God, Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand," and he gave him a tithe of all. When you get into the book of Hebrews, it talks about this, the priesthood of Melchizedek. You're a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So there's something important here, and we need to understand it. Melchizedek, right? Let's look at the name. It starts with M-E-L-E-K, Melech. It means king. And Zadok, Melchizedek, Zadok means righteousness, king of righteousness. Woo. And he was the king of a city called Sodom, right? Sodom means peace. That really describes us and describes our ministry, that we are kings of righteousness and we live in peace in the middle of a war. The Lord is my shepherd. He places me at a table in the middle of my enemies. In the middle of a war zone, there you are having a three-course steak meal. Say, don't you realize there's a battle going on? I'm enjoying my steak. Leave me alone. I'm at peace. How many know you can be? Peace is not dependent on what's going on around you. Peace is dependent on what's going on in you. Come on, you do better than that. I'm preaching better than that. You better applause or I'll just take me a raise. Amen. I'm sorry, Lord. Hallelujah. Psalms 110, verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Going back to that, where it says that we are shaped by God. The word there, the Greek word, when it says you are a peculiar, remember that? You are a peculiar people. Yeah, some Christians are peculiar. You know, we got this thing we have to deal with now. I call it part-time Christians. Oh, you're going to be quiet there. Okay. Part-time. You know who you're dealing with when you call them up on the phone. Hello? Who the blankety blank is this? And how did you get blank my phone number? Blank, blank, blank. This is Pastor Philippi from Journey. Oh, hello, Pastor. Woo, praise the Lord. You just cussed me out when you didn't know who part-time. The trouble with part-time Christians is sometimes you run into them on the off times. Oh, they're on it on Sunday morning. I'd be right. Yeah, catch them on a Monday. Woo! Part-time Christians. How many full-time Christians do we have here? How many love the Lord on Monday? How many love the Lord on Tuesday? How many love the Lord on Wednesday? How many love... Woo! Glory to God. God is good. And all the time. Ha! Ah. You know that word peculiar? That's the King James. It's probably not a good translation. It literally means, it's from the Greek word peripoiomai. You didn't think I could say it, did you? Peripoiomai. Glory to God. See, when you minor in Greek, that helps you a little bit. Yeah? So it literally means shaped all around. That word, that the prefix peri means all around, and poiomai means to be shaped. So it means to be shaped all around. You are shaped in God's image. You may not have arrived at the full revelation of that yet, but it's coming. Jeremiah said it this way, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart for something special. I ordained you a prophet. What does a prophet do? A prophet speaks the words of God. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Wow. I ordained you. That word is yada, and it means I recognized you. I designated you. I appointed you. Anybody feeling special yet? This is what God has done for you in your life. He said, I set you apart. That word is kadosh, kadosh, and it means I set you apart. I had a special response and purpose. Response and purpose for making you. You are not random. Your parents may have said you were a mistake, an accident, a surprise. Sorry. I mean, you come from a family of nine. How many surprises were there? 10? Well, 3 or 4 probably were. Lord, speak to the hand. How do I get back? Get me back, Lord. I set you apart. I had a special response and purpose for making you. He said, before I formed you. That's the Hebrew word, yatsar, and it means to shape. I shaped you. I made you the person that you are and your future, and it's all there. Can I get an amen? Psalms 139, verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. Woo. And skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. God said, I saw you before you were formed. And in your book, they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Wow. That word skillfully wrought, it comes from a needlepoint kind of thing, and it means to embroider. You were embroidered. Donna's happy. Hallelujah. God stitched you. Put a stitch on you. Come on. And when it says skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, terrible translation. It's not talking about the lowest parts of the earth. It's talking about the deepest part of a woman's womb. I made you in the womb. Stitching and making you in my image. Come on. And when it says in your book, I love that word there. I'm sorry, there's a lot of word studies today. That's what you get when you minor in Greek, right? And took a year of Hebrew too. But it says in your book, say in your book. That literally means Jesus. That, help me, Jesus. It literally talks about a blueprint, not just a book, but a blueprint. Before you were born, your life was drawn out on a blueprint. I've had a lot of experience, well, not a lot, but, you know, building these buildings, and I know how to read a blueprint, right? I know how to read every. I know what's on. I know, but you see, everything has to be built according to the blueprint. I remember we were building this, and some of the guys would say, "I got a better." No, we're sticking to the blueprint. Because if you change one thing, that affects something else, and then something else, and stick to the blueprint. Come on. Our architect, Melvin Felty, he'd come over here every day. No, we're sticking to the blueprint. God has a blueprint. And unfortunately, some of us have gone off and did different things and tried to build things that, like Jesus talked about building on the sand instead of building on the rock. It's what we need to do. How many know, understand what I'm saying? Romans 8, 28, that famous book, Romans 8. We know, say we know, that all things, say all things, work together, not some things, not just the good things, all things. Have y'all ever heard me preach this before? 5. Okay, all things, 4,000 messages, all things work together Well, if you can believe that and hang on to that, you can get through anything. All things work together for good to those who love God. Maybe that's the problem. And to those who are called, who realize their calling according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We are called to be like Jesus. Say, I want to be like Jesus. Again, 139, verse 13. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. The word there means to create, to own, to literally build or erect a thing piece by piece. Wow. That's how you were formed. And then he says, I will praise you. I will praise you. Fearfully and wonderfully made. I know sometimes we what does fearfully mean? It means I am made with a difference. I am a miracle set apart as a marvelous show. The world's, this, you were made for the world to look at you and say, there's something different about that person, and I wish I could be like them. When everybody at work is losing their minds, you're walking around like you don't have a care in the world because you're not of this world. Woo! Somebody help me. Starts telling me to quit. Amen. You're just, yeah, she knows when the end is near. Amen. No, because I sent her an outline. Amen. But I like this. He said, listen, you're made with a difference. I'm a miracle set apart as a marvelous show. Whew. Said, I'm made with a difference. Say, I am a miracle. I am set apart. I'm a marvelous show. Get rid of that false humility. You are what you are. My God. And that my soul well knows. That means you're unique, one of a kind, handmade, distinguished from all other models. When they made you, they threw away the mold. In some cases, we're glad they did. We stop. Listen, we're not all there yet. We don't all realize the fullness of it yet. One man said it like this. He said, we may lose sight of the likeness of God, but never the image. The image is always there. We just need the likeness to catch up. Wow. Wow. Let me close it with this. It's like, because all, you know, my grandkids are from birth to 10, right? And I always, and sometimes the kids will bring stuff from Children's Church and they'll give me stuff, but how many know you give them a picture and they're supposed to color it? And one of the things you watch as they grow older is how long it takes them to draw within the lines, to color within the lines. When they're really young, it's like, and they're so proud of it. That's where some of us are. We know the image, but the likeness, it's just, then they figure out they can use different colors. But over time, they realize, well, wait a minute, there's lines here. And at first, it's still hard to stay in the lines. But how many know they reach that place of maturity when they can color within the lines? The lines are made, friends. The image is there. The likeness is there. It's already drawn out. We just have to figure out. Some of us, it takes longer than others, but we need to figure out where the lines are and start coloring it in. When you're first saved, you're given that image, and you're like, wah, wah, wah. And the rest of us are like, just be patient, just be patient. They don't act saved. Well, they're just saved. Give them some time, amen. But eventually we start figuring, oh, wait a minute. There are lines. And we start looking good. We start coloring in the lines. Because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good. Helpful. Praise God. Amen. Fearfully, wonderfully made. And that my soul well knows. I hope I've accomplished my purpose today. I just want you to feel good about yourself in a world that's attacking you, attacking your purpose, attacking who you are as a person or who you are as a man or a woman, as a child. We're being attacked on every side, even when we don't realize it. It's on the TV. They're trying to make sin normal. I'm going to get in trouble. How many know there's no way there are that many gay people in the world? They are literally on every single television show. There's always one, two, or three gay people. Always. It's like 40% of the population's gay now. No, it's like 2%. It's crazy. What are they doing? They're trying to make it normal and acceptable. Listen, we need to love everybody. Don't act like you're better than anybody. Warrant for the grace of God. You better stay humble. And you need to wrap your arms around them and love them. Doesn't matter. And everyone walks through that door is welcome in this house. I don't care what their past is because somebody let me in. And if you'd be honest, somebody let you in. Because you weren't all that. I know some of you were born saved, but you know. So we love everybody, and we're not here to be ugly, and we're not here to be critical. And quit throwing Bibles at people. But we do have to stand. We can't say that it's okay. We'll love them until that change happens. But you know what? It'll never happen if we don't love them. You can't change them by judging them. Even Jesus said, I didn't come to judge. I came to save the world. Somebody help me in this house. Amen. I came to deliver. I came to save. I came to give a way of escape. I came to give people hope. I came to leave grace on the earth. Somebody. Woo! Praise the Lord. Love them, love them, love them. But make it clear. How many parents are dealing with this with their children? And the question is, if I let them stay in the house, am I? No, let them stay. Let them know what you believe. But let them know they're loved. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but sometimes love is greater. Love is always greater than condemnation. Live the life so they know right from wrong, dark from light. Let them know the consequences of such lifestyles. And not just that lifestyle, but the whole sexual promiscuity. Children are being exposed to sexually explicit material long before they understand its consequences or what it's really all about. And it becomes sex, not love. And it's confusing and it's debilitating and it's ruining marriages and relationships. And there's people up down there that are okay with it. They want it to happen. They love this confusion. They love the darkness. Then the Bible said they love the darkness better more than they love the light. I may get in trouble for this message, but you listen, we have to know. And I think you already know. I think you know where we're at. I think you feel the pressure at work, even in your own homes, the schools. We call it higher education. The higher you go, the more stupid it gets. People are saying now, don't spend $100,000 to send your kids to these colleges. They come out with these stupid degrees that don't mean anything, and the teachers are all in darkness trying to make them think differently. It's no wonder so many young people are rioting and against common sense. But I'm also encouraged that there's so many young people flocking to the house of God, running to Jesus. We're seeing darkness and the light. Some of you, you've heard me preach this for years now, that in the last days there's going to be a great falling away, but there's also going to be a great revival at the same time. Darkness is getting darker, but light is getting lighter. The darker it gets, the more just a single candle can blow up a room. Woo! You're that candle. Light the way wherever you go. Don't be obnoxious. Don't walk around with your family Bible. Take that. But be a light. Be a way of escape. Be a way for people to change and to know peace. To know peace. Can we sing peace, peace, wonderful peace? Would you mind? And let's come to the tables. Let's come to the altars. If you need prayer, come on. We'll help you pray whatever your need today. But let's come to the tables. Don't leave yet. We can't even let you go yet.